的女儿。His faithfulness has been great. Hallelujah. He is always faithful. Father, you are always faithful. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that your presence is in this place. We worship you and we honor you. Hallelujah. Stand up and sing with me. Praise the Lord.
Oh, great is thy faithfulness, oh God, my Father.
I have been.
what only you can do, Father. Hallelujah, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Hallelujah, just open up your mouth and worship him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, you are great. We worship you this morning. We worship you this morning. We worship you this morning. We praise your name. You are the mighty God. You are the mighty God. We worship you. Praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name.
Thank you, Father. We bless your holy name. We thank you for the privilege accorded us to come before your throne room tonight, this very day. This day that you've made for us to rejoice and be glad. May we have an encounter that forever changes our lives for your glory and honor. Blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Normally, at this point, I will introduce our guest speaker right away. But as I was standing there, the Lord began to speak to me again about something. About 4.5 years ago, in tears, I began to speak to us about New York. I mean, if you remember this, okay. I had to exercise a lot of self-control because I wanted to start crying, bawling, because God was speaking about New York and about the fall of New York if the leadership did not repent. And the Lord began to speak to me just about 5-6 minutes ago. He says, I am the God who will have mercy on who I want to have mercy. I told us at that time that New York, which is the, you might say, the economic center of the world, that the economy was going to fall and businesses and the strength of the economy of the United States was going to start moving away from New York. The things were going to start collapsing. And from the time of that word till now, things have been spiraling down for that city and that state. I want to take a few minutes, maybe 2 minutes. I want us to cry out to God for mercy, that God will intervene because of the saints, because of the saints. God will have mercy. What I do know is that God wants us to do that. What happens is not only in the hands of God, but in the hands of the people, their hearts. So we're going to pray, God, touch the hearts of the people of New York, that they will repent before God, that the collapse of that city and that state not happen. I'm not interested in, oh, I prophesied this and it happened just like I said. That is not the point. It's about the people. Amen? So let us just rise for a moment and just cry out to God for New York to intervene by touching the hearts of the leadership and the people of New York, that they will repent before God and they will make godly decisions to the glory of God. Just talk to the Father. Hallelujah, Father. Have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, have mercy. Father, intervene and grant this city and its people another chance. Let things not fall apart. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus. Yes, they will feel the pain, but Lord, oh God, let it not come to naught like Sodom and Gomorrah. But Lord, oh God, in your mercy, save. Lord, even for one person, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. And let not the devil have this city and its people. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for praying. I appreciate that so very much. God works with our prayers when we stand in agreement. He also aligns, and because we have prayed, He will intervene for His glory and honor. Anyhow, it is my privilege today to welcome to our city, welcome to our province, welcome to our nation, welcome to Glory and Peace Church, a very dear man of God, a chosen vessel, one that God has been using mightily to impact the lives of people locally and globally. In fact, today he is going to be speaking to us from the United States, from Maryland. He's been having meetings there powerfully, touching lives to the glory of God. Hallelujah. So tonight, it is my privilege and honor to have, I'm not sure if they're ready at their end, so I'll just watch my screen to see when they give me a thumbs up or something on my screen, then I'll know for sure they're ready to receive me, and so I can receive the man of God. Okay. They're working on something. Hallelujah. I was hoping that this was all addressed already before now, and I think they had tried to do so. But nonetheless, this is a great man of God, an apostle, a bishop, a leader of leaders, a pastor of pastors, a man that is married, has great children. In fact, I was looking at some of the names of the children, and I wasn't too sure whether this was part of the name or it was a title. Pastor Akintoya, that's one of your children. Grace Vera, oh, that sounds like Grace. Then there's Minister Akintola. I said, wow. Then there's Shalom. And then there's Treasure and Marvelous. Sam Joy. Amazing names. Anyhow, he is happily married, blessed, and championed by a very special lady, Reverend Lady Vera Lina. He is the founder of the great work of God called Living Word of Faith Bible Church in the town of Freetown. Amen? Today, from Freetown, a man from Freetown, we are going to be made free. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. From the nation of Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone, that is like a lion. So the Lion of Judah is going to roar and impact our lives powerfully today. Anyway, let me stop fooling around here and just say, dear man of God, I really, really appreciate you. You've been a man that has touched my heart in so many ways. I've seen God do great things in your nation, and I've heard your voice blasting through the radio waves and television, and a man of substance. And today we are privileged to have you serve in this vineyard of the Lord. How are you doing, Bishop?
I'm doing good, Bishop.
Awesome.
It's a pleasure being with you. and with the great work that God has entrusted into your hand. God bless Glory and Peace Church. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Today is Thanksgiving here in Canada. And so that which you bring into us is going to continue to be an expression of thanksgiving unto the Lord. Let me step out of the way and let you take it on and bring us into that fullness that God has for us today. Thank you so very much, sir.
Amen. Well, thank you, Bishop, for having me. And I count it a great blessing to be able to reach out to God's people and from whatever part of the world you're joining in. And for those of you who are there in Canada, I want to say that God has a blessing in store for you. And yes, I'm blessed with a beautiful wife and six lovely children. And just like Bishop said, the names are really marvelous. In fact, that's the name of number six, marvelous. And God has done marvelous things, and he'll continue to do marvelous things for his own glory. And I'm glad to be part of this great gathering. And God is going to visit you. And I love the theme, even though Bishop was gracious enough to say that I am not limited to stay with the theme, I feel that the theme itself has got great blessings in store. And so as I speak with you, my members in different places are also part of this great opportunity and this great blessing. And we're going to receive from God what God has for us. Now, let me just give not a disclaimer, but maybe something to position us. I come from Sierra Leone. I am presently in the United States, but this is not my homeland. Everywhere that God sends me to, I go. So I'm here in the United States. So you may find out that I pronounce some words differently from you. So I'm speaking rather slowly, as fast as you can hear me talk. This is the slower version of how I talk. And so I am doing my best to ensure that you can understand my accent. Do not shut me down because you don't understand a certain word, because I pay attention from nation to nation to understand what they're saying. So let's have that understanding, or let's call it an MOU. So you want to be blessed, and so you're going to pay attention to what I would be saying, and the Spirit of God would give us understanding. Father, thank you. As we go into your word, I pray that your Spirit would minister to every life, bring grace and glory. Father, thank you that you are faithful. Lord, there's no distance with you in the realms of the Spirit. You sent forth your word, and you heal them and deliver them from their destruction. And this day, I'm very confident, Lord, that you are going to do nothing less. You are sending forth your word, and you're going to bring healing to the spirit, soul, and body of everyone connected this day. And everyone that will hereafter be a part of this broadcast and go through it, it shall be alive as it was or as it is in this very first day of speaking grace and power into the lives. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing and what you would continue to do in the mighty name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So we go into the word, and the Bible calls itself the more sure word of prophecy. So this word is above every other word, every other prophecy, every other prophetic utterance that you're waiting to hear. This word would not fall to the ground. This word would never return to God void. It would accomplish the thing for which he sent it and will prosper in the things that please God. You must open your hearts to the word of God and believe that as the word of God is coming forth, it is not only going to deal with the things I mentioned, it is also going to deal with things that I may not know, because the Spirit of God, he makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be altered. And so as the word goes forth by the same Spirit, he's going to address things that I may not have altered, or he's going to deal with you in the place of need. And because of the apostolic grace of God upon my life, the principle there is that while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that had. And so one of the common miracles I see is that my teachings are very prophetic. And then as I teach, the Lord goes on to heal people. God is going to heal you. God is going to do marvelous things in your life. And as I speak also, every demonic presence in your life is subjected to the power of God. And believe now, I serve them notice now, as I come into your house on the mandate of the Holy Spirit for those of you that are at home, as I come into the edifice where you're gathered together to hear the word of God, I come by the Holy Spirit anointing, because this thing is not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. And therefore, receive your healing, receive your breakthrough. You don't need to wait till the end of the message. You don't need to wait till the conclusion and prayer begins. As this word is going forth, the miracle of God is in this word. This word is impregnated, loaded with every type of miracles and answers that we seek from God. So receive that now and let your heart be open to him. Again, say, so shall my word be, that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. So today we want to look at abiding grace. This is a powerful topic, Bishop, and the Holy Spirit is going to help us get into this. So for us to get into this understanding and the revelation of his word and get on with this journey, I want us to start off by understanding some definitions of grace and then some dimensions of grace. According to Ephesians 2 verse 5 and verse 6, he says, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I skip to verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hallelujah. The gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So this is what grace does. The Bible says, when we were dead in sins, Christ came looking for us. The Father gave his only Son to die on the cross for us, to pay the price for your sins. And that's why there's salvation in no other name. There's no other name given among men whereby they must be saved. It is only through Jesus Christ. That's why he will boldly say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hallelujah. Now, so the Bible says that he has quickened us together with Christ. Now, people who were dead in sins, not only did God come and make us alive, but he made us alive together with Christ. He made us alive together with Christ. Beautiful. So, if you've lost me on that, please put on my second camera. All right, please give permission from the technical team on that side so that my second camera could come on. All right, and you can be able to switch in between when as and when necessary. All right, well, I keep on going until that is done and beautiful that I can be seen once again. So here it says that he has quickened us, that is, made us alive, raised us up together in Christ. And this is by grace. It is not the working of man. It is not the strength of man. It is God at work. This grace of God is God's saving force that gives men undeserved favor, unmerited favor. I declare to you that you are going to receive undeserved favor from God. In case you don't know, when you receive Christ Jesus, you've already received unmerited favor. undeserved favor. But then we are going to activate this and appropriate it, because, you know, it is like some people who are holding a very sophisticated phone, and all what they know is how to send and receive calls, or how to send a text and receive text messages. Not knowing you can do so much more with that device that is in your hands. So people are saved, and we're glad that we are saved. But I'm saying to you that the grace of God that brought you salvation already has deposited in you much more than just, okay, now I'm going to heaven. This grace has got power to change your life, power to make you a blessing, power to cause you to bring God glory and to be celebrated. And this is going to happen. And from this moment, as I speak to you, you are going to enter into fresh levels and higher dimensions of the grace of God. This grace is God's ability, supernaturally given to man, to give him access to supernatural abilities. It is God's ability given to us, how? Supernaturally, to give us access to God's supernatural ability. It is God's endowment upon man to enable him to accomplish what is not humanly possible, what is not possible, humanly speaking. The grace of God is going to endow you to do this. That's why a man like Paul would say, hey, I am what I am because of the grace of God. It is this grace that was working in me. It is this grace that empowered me to do more. In the book of Ephesians 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, to the praise of the glory of his grace. This grace of God is glorious. This grace is not given to you just to survive, just to be alive. When people speak of the grace of God, it's as if it's just a survival provision, just to keep you above waters, head above waters, just to keep you alive. This grace is a glorious grace. It is a transforming grace. It is an empowering grace. It is more than just for you to be alive. This grace is going to lift you to heights and dimensions you never dreamt of. As I speak apostolically and prophetically. Apostolically, dealing with every prevailing power, every ruling spirit, every principality, every historical bondage, every foundational issue that has been holding you down. The grace of God is addressing that. And prophetically, because God knows what you're going through, and God is also going to propel you, release you onto higher dimensions, not by power, not by might, but by his grace. Hallelujah. The Bible says, rearing to the praise of the glory of his grace, rearing he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You know, the people who've gone through rejection, and rejection leads to a whole lot of things. Rejections led some people into garrulity, just loudness, just, you know, trying to be seen, trying to be known. Rejection has led people into suicidal thoughts, and not only suicidal tendencies, the people who've killed themselves because of the spirit of rejection, despise, and the many other effects of rejection that can take hold of man's life, because no one has accepted you, no one received you. Well, I've got news for you. The Bible says the grace of God has made you accepted. This is the verse that changed my life when I did not have shoes to put on, when I used to cook with tire, motor car tire, the tire of a vehicle, take knife, cut it and cook to survive. And people rejected me. No one wanted to be my friend. But I discovered this verse that God has made me accepted. I stopped finding acceptance. And when I met believers who despised me, I felt sorry for them. Because I said, your Father has not just accepted me, he has made me accepted. So if you think you despise me, you're actually working against your Father. You think you rejected me. I stopped looking down on myself, looking down at myself, you know, being full of pity for myself, or look at my condition, look at my poverty. No, I was accepted by God Almighty, by the glory of his grace. So let me say something to you. Amidst your weaknesses, amidst your failures, amidst your inadequacies, amidst everything that's been working against you, I want you to know that God has made you accepted. There's nothing anyone can do about it. There's nothing any power can do about it. God has not asked anyone's opinion for them to endorse and sign that, yes, you can be accepted. You are accepted. If I were you, I would say, clap your hands. I would clap my hands and give God some quality praise because of his goodness towards me. He has made me accepted. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You got somebody next to you? Can you give them a high five and say, I am accepted. I belong and I'm powerfully, you know, placed and positioned in God's hands. Now let's speak a little bit about levels and types of grace. Let's go to the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. And we want to speak some more about the saving grace that we've already seen in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. There's a saving grace, the grace that brought us salvation. Thank God for it. Without the saving grace, no matter how good you are in other areas, you are condemned. There's no hope for it. But then let's read now. It says, Titus 2, verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. If anyone goes to hell, it is because they want to go to hell. It's not because of something that God has not done for them. Because the grace of God has appeared to all men. Robbers, murderers, witches, harlots, no matter who you are, the grace of God has appeared to all men. Again, can you sound loud hallelujah to that? Praise the name of the Lord. And then it goes on to say in verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, so the grace of God that brought you salvation has also brought you power to overcome sin. The Bible doesn't expect us to continue in sin. Should we continue in sin, that grace may abound? And the Bible answers itself, God forbid. No. And so for some people, you know, growing up in the earlier days of my Christianity, all what I kept on hearing was, you know, about grace. And whenever I had grace, it was more of some playing around with some sin and then, oh, by his grace. So in those earlier days of my Christianity, whenever I had by his grace, it indicated that somebody was living in deliberate sin and sin by his grace. So it even caused some of us to turn our noses up on grace because we don't understand grace. Because every time you said you had by his grace, that means someone was living in disobedience, not willing to change, and saying, oh, the grace of God, you know, accepts my sin. The Bible says here, this grace that brought salvation, or that brings salvation to all men, teaches us, and not only like instructs us, but empowers us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, and empowers us to live soberly, to live righteously and godly in this present world. I'm saying to you, by the grace of God, you are going to overcome that alcoholic control over your life, alcoholic desire, that lust for drugs, that lust for immorality, that lust for the things that don't please God. Receive your deliverance now from every stronghold in your life, from the things you thought you cannot be free from. This moment, you know, some years ago, a hiker George in my nation said to me, and she sent to me, and then later on, she was now telling me, thank you, Pastor. I was not a bishop or working apostolic ministry by then, but she said, thank you. She said, when you were doing your television ministry, I've been fighting with, you know, addiction to nicotine, and I was smoking cigarettes, and I could not stop. And this woman said to me, she said, you know, but when you were preaching and said, you pointed to me and you said, stop smoking now. And she said, since that day, I was set free. And I said, woman, I think you missed the person. She laughed. She said, I know you. I watch your programs. It was you. And my mind went back to that particular broadcast. There was nowhere in the teaching that I stopped and pointed to her, or pointed to anyone for that matter, into the screen and said, stop smoking now. There's no part. But she said, you did it. And the evidence is that from that moment, I stopped smoking. The desire went away from me. I said, praise the Lord. Because I realized that was the Holy Spirit at work. Today, as I'm speaking to you, the same Holy Spirit is at work. You are loose from the power of darkness. You are loose from bondage. You are loose from captivity. You are loose from demonic harassment. You are loose from the powers that control your mind, controls your heart, controls your thought patterns. We receive a new level, a new dimension to living now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Verse 13 goes on, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the place where I'm troubled today. When you come across many believers and much of our preaching, we don't have people looking for the blessed hope anymore about the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. But what we see is all just what we can receive now. All the prayers is about getting rich now. 10 points to get rich. 10 points to own your business. 10 points. Motivational preaching has taken over the preaching of the pure gospel of Christ that brings people to the cross, that brings them to the blood, that brings them to transformation. It's all a compromised message. And if you want some places, if you want all to see that, if you want people laying seed on the offering, or on the altar, or sending you some special envelopes, you have to tell your preaching according to what meets the itching ears. But today I'm saying to you, the Bible says we must look for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is going to appear one day. He's coming back. Child of God, don't lose focus. Child of God, don't be distracted by the things that happen around you. All of this is going to fade away. This whole earth is going to melt away. I remember my first time of visiting the United States of America, and some people took me around, showed me great buildings, and was like, wow, that was way back in 1994. And yes, I love architecture, and I admire the great buildings. But for every building I saw, I remembered what God said. The Bible says, not one stone, Christ said, not one stone will be left on top of each other. And I look at the tall buildings, and I'm like, wow, not one stone will be left on top of each other. When you have God's word in view, when you keep it in the midst of your heart, you realize something is going to happen. The world is not going to control your life. You'll use the world, but the world will not use you. Hallelujah. And the Bible says here, by the way, this is not what I'm teaching on, but here it reveals Christ also as God. It says the appearing of the great God announced to you that God the Father is not going to come down to the earth. No, it's Christ that's going to come back to the earth. So the Bible says the great God refers to him as the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Give him a clap of praise. Those of you that are with me, give him a clap of praise here right now. Hallelujah. Now, verse 14 says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. They receive an injection of great zeal for good works, receive a passion for good works, receive the ability to move on into good works in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, let's talk about more grace. So God gives you grace, but God also has a dimension called more grace. So if you want the grace of ministry, the grace for the miraculous, the grace for the anointing, the grace for marvelous things, for church planting, the grace for imparting lives, the grace to take territories, I am activating this verse. I am appropriating this verse. The Bible says in James 4, verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore it saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Hallelujah. God gives grace to the humble, but the Bible says he gives more grace. someone lift up your hand and say, Father, I receive more grace. All right, can you say it as loud as you can? Say, I receive more grace. Now let's go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. The Bible says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. There are people who used to say, I don't have the grace that you have. Well, I had Paul say in Philippians 1, he said, you know, you are partakers of my grace. You are partakers of my grace. Today, I'm saying to you, you are partakers of the grace of God that is upon the life of your spiritual authority. You are partakers of the grace of God that is upon the life of God's servant. And for those of you who are hearing me right now, I decree to you, you are partakers of my grace. Oh, that is from Philippians 1, verse 7. You are partakers of my grace. So, number one, God has given grace to every man. But if for any reason you believe that you did not have grace, every time you listen to a man of God, a father in faith, you can connect to say, God, I receive that grace. I receive that invitation. And you soon realize that different things are going to begin to work in your life beyond your imagination. Hallelujah. You know, I've had people say to me, and I've had it all the time. The other day, a certain man of God was saying to me, the bishop, you're a teacher. You teach the word of God so deeply. So, bishop, you are also an evangelist. You evangelize in the signs and wonders. And then he said, bishop, you minister deliverance and there's power. You lead worship and the presence of God. And he was saying that, bishop, I mean, you are so multifaceted. Now listen, it's not bishop. It is the grace that is available to every child of God. You know, I used to be such a calm and cool preacher until one day a certain minister went on the invitation of another minister, they went to Cilium, and I was asking him, can you speak to my church? I said, yes, he can. And I saw the man preach himself crazy. And I saw the power of God. And I said to him, lay hands on me. He laid hands on me. The very next Sunday, I could not believe that I was going to preach. Something came over me. In the middle of my teaching, the power of God came upon me. And I began to walk in dimensions of authority and power and the supernatural. My God, it was just amazing. Today, as I speak to you, I am declaring to you that you are going to experience tremendous power. Receive tremendous power. When you see grace, tap into that grace and it will work in your life. Don't say, I don't have it. I am not called. I don't have it. You are going to receive more grace. But now the verse, Acts 4, verse 33 says, great grace was upon them all. To every man, every woman, every child, every father, every grandmother, every grandparent, everyone hearing my voice, receive great grace. Now let's go on to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 14. I trust this word is blessing you. Tell someone next to you, say, I'm being blessed. I hope I'm not talking to someone there who does not believe they should talk to anyone or anyone should talk to them. One day I was preaching somewhere, and some years ago, and it was somewhere in England, and I told those people, I said, turn and touch someone. There was no Ebola, there was no COVID-19. I said, turn and touch a brother, and I saw faces turn red. And I was like, what? My offense was simply to tell them, touch. Well, the Bible says, greet each other with a holy kiss, brother. That's not even a touch. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let's get into God's word. I trust you have been blessed. Amen. So it says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 14, and by the prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. My God. Hallelujah. The people had now not just grace, not just great grace, but exceeding grace of God in you. Can you lay your hands on your chest and say, I've got exceeding grace of God in me? Can we say one more time? Say, I have exceeding grace of God. I have the exceeding grace of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, let me announce to you that nothing that comes against you will overwhelm you. No flood will drown you. No fire will consume you. No pain you're going through will destroy you. No gathering of wicked ones against you will prevail against you. You've got exceeding grace. Grace that prevails over and above every condition. God is bringing you out of shame. God is bringing you out of trouble. I wish I could see you and I could see three or four people that can jump up and shout, I have exceeding grace. Because what you declare comes upon you. Thou shalt decree things, it shall be established unto you. You shall have whatsoever you say. Say, I have exceeding grace. I am bigger than every trouble. I am tougher than every enemy. I'm stronger than any battle. Declare it today. You have exceeding grace. Wow. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15. It says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace of God might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Now it's gone from grace, it's moved on to more grace, then to great grace, then to exceeding grace. And he says, you know what? There's another dimension called abundant grace. Receive abundant grace. And this grace is activated by thanksgiving. Listen, stop complaining about what you're going through. You know, people who work around me have seen that I do handle quite a few things. But they realize they never had me say, I am stressed out. I'm a father of 6 children. But they never had me say, I am stressed out. Not only do I head my ministry, but I serve as the president of the Pentecostal of Fellowship of Sierra Leone for my second term. And for the past 20 plus years, I have been serving in the executive throughout this period. And so besides having my own family, my own ministry, I handle the burdens of others. But you'll never hear me say, I'm stressed out. I'm stressed. That is not my confession. My confession is that His grace is sufficient for me. And the grace of God takes me through storms that no one thought I'd go through. Health storms, different challenges, different battles. The grace of God lifts me above it. When people think that I'm finished, the grace of God pulls me through. I'm saying to you, you're coming through that situation. As I speak, you know, I perceive by the Holy Spirit that someone is in a huge debt. And this debt is about to land into big trouble, almost like imprisonment, I can perceive. But I hear God saying, if you can believe His grace, the grace of God is making a way for you. I also perceive in the Spirit that someone who's child is hospitalized. And it's like you don't know where to turn to. You've done what you could do, and the doctor's not giving you an answer. I'm saying to you, the grace of God is bringing healing to your child. The grace of God is making a way for you. The grace of God is sustaining you through that storm. If you are the one, let God know that you receive Him, you receive the word and praise Him for it. Now, we go to 1 Timothy 1 and verse 14. It says, and the grace of the Lord was exceeding abundant. This is awesome. So we've moved from grace to more grace, to great grace, to exceeding grace, to abundant grace. And now it says, you know what? Let me tell you the truth. There's something above abundant grace. It is called the exceeding abundant grace. It says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding. That means more than what you need. Not just sufficient, not just much, not just plenty. But it says exceed. That means it exceeds what you need. It's like you're going to take a heavy crane to come lift a bucket of water. What could lift up? Containers loaded with heavy machinery. You take it to come lift up a fridge. The grace of God that you carry is bigger than everything you face. I hope you can believe that word. Because what you believe would work for you. What you believe would work in your life. Hallelujah. Speaking of types of grace, huh? Types of grace. Look at receiving grace. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 2, verse 5 to verse 9. Receiving grace. But there's also the elevating grace. The grace that lifts up. The grace that picks you from where you are and sets you above. As I'm speaking to you, I declare to you that the hand of God is picking you up by grace and is lifting you to walk and tread the high places of the earth. In 1 Samuel 2, verse 8, the Bible says, he raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill. To do what? To set them among princes, to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. Today, receive lifting from God. There's a grace for elevation, and that grace is picking up the poor, picking up the beggar from the dust and from the dunghill to set them among princes. I declare to someone, an appointment is coming to you now, an appointment for high level, an appointment to work in some high offices on the governmental dimension. Never forget, this is what Bishop Akintel Samuelson said to you, write it down, it's going to come to pass. And I see it happen speedily in someone's life, an appointment, and a door is open unto you right now as I speak unto you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Receive that lifting from God. Now, we go to Genesis chapter 23 and we look at verse 4. Genesis chapter 23, verse 4 to 7. It says, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. I hope you can put it on the screen. It's Genesis 23, verse 4 to 7. It says, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the children of Heth answered Abram, saying unto him, hear us, my Lord, thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of a sepulchres, bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but that thou mayest bury thy dead. Verse 7. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth. Now Abraham was supposed to be a stranger. And the people said to him, don't call yourself a stranger. They said to him, you are a mighty prince among us. Today, for everyone who is living in a foreign land or serving God in a foreign environment, receive grace to be a mighty prince. A mighty prince in a foreign land. May the God who lifted Abraham, the God who lifted Joseph, the God who raised and elevated Daniel, elevate you in a foreign land. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive divine elevation now. Receive it as I speak over you. Receive it as a prophetic word. Receive me as a prophet sent to you right now. And take the word as your word, and it shall come to pass. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command it to turn around in circumstances. I command situations around you to bow down now. I command the blessings on your behalf. Receive the grace of elevation, the lifting grace in the foreign land. You shall be celebrated as a mighty prince in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Somebody give God a glory shout 3 times. Don't keep back your voices. You've got a glory shout. Shout 3 times. Glory! 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 Hallelujah! You can give God a cup of praise right there. It is thousand. It is thousand. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, let's look also at Romans 6, verse 14. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. So there is a grace of immunity. Hallelujah. The same sin that destroys others will not destroy you. It is a grace of immunity. Sin will not have dominion over you. No matter how strong sin is, no matter how powerful the temptation is, no matter how you felt weak, to receive grace from God, grace to have dominion over sin. The Bible says, you are not under law, but under grace. Somebody shout, I am under grace. I am under grace. Glory be to God. Now let's go to Exodus 7, verse 1. Hallelujah. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. My God, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh. There is a grace that exalts you, that exalts men above the heathen. Today I receive that grace that exalts us above rulers. Today we receive grace right now above governmental authorities, political authorities. We receive voice to speak in high places. We receive power to determine the destiny of your nation. We receive the grace that came upon Daniel. He began to intercede in the book of Daniel chapter 9, and it was in the year, the first year of Darius. The next step that we came to, Darius was gone because there was a prophecy over Cyrus and what Cyrus should do in Isaiah 44 and 45. Now, Cyrus had been born, but he could not suffice until Daniel began to pray. And then the kingdom was moved away, and then Cyrus was released to become king, and he fulfilled his assignment to release Israel out of captivity. I'm saying to you right now, receive grace to walk in governmental authority, the authority that exalts. Oh, wow. Bless the name of the Lord. So there's saving grace. There's elevation grace. And then there's ministry grace, the grace for ministry. Romans 12, verse 6. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now, so there is the grace for ministry, the grace that will let you walk in spiritual dimensions that you have no natural capacity to walk in. But the grace of God is going to open unto you spiritual dimension. That's why God will say to Jeremiah, don't say you're a child. Don't say you're a child, because you're going to go where I send you. You're going to say the things I send you to say. And I put you above nations. I ordained you prophet from the womb. Today, I release you unto your spiritual and ministerial destiny. A lot of people are looking for all kinds of destiny, but they are despising the ministerial destiny. Announced to you, there's ministerial destiny upon your life. You are going to walk in the gifts of the Spirit. You're going to walk in spiritual gifts. The Bible says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Every one of us has got grace. If you don't see a ministry dimension to your life, don't think God prefers someone above you. It's because you have rejected the grace of God. In Ephesians 4, verse 8, it says, but unto every one of us, every one of us. Someone say, every one of us. Can you point to 2, 3 people and say, every one of us? But unto every one of us is given what? Grace. We have been given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We have been given grace. So according to Romans 12, verse 6, yes, you have been given grace. We have been given gifts according to grace. Now this verse says that we have received grace also according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So every one of us has the gift of Christ within us. And we have been given grace to work out that ministry dimension. You are going to do things that people thought you'd never do. It shall be by the grace of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. The grace of God given unto me as a wise master builder, a church planter, an architect. He says, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now, this is so because we have been given grace, hallelujah, to do ministry. Paul says, by this grace, I am a master builder. Receive grace to be a master builder today. The louder your grace, the louder your amen, the greater the grace upon your life. Say, I've received grace to be a master builder. I am a master builder in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now let's look at the enabling grace, the grace that enables you, the grace that gives you supernatural ability. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, it says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most glad therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. So there is the grace of God that enables you to serve and to be productive, even in the midst of challenges. It is this transforming grace, this grace of God, that transforms our disadvantages into advantage. It makes what was supposed to work against you now begin to work for you in the name of Jesus Christ. I decree right now that you are walking in this grace, that the things that worked against you are going to be turned around to work in your favor. Say loud amen once again. Don't get tired of supplying your amen so long as the preaching keeps on going. Supply your amen. Supply your hallelujah. Supply your glory. Hallelujah. This grace is there for you. Enabling grace. Now let's talk about another grace. There is the given grace. The given grace. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1. It says, moreover, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches, on the churches of Macedonia, how that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. There is a given grace that was bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. And Paul says, I cannot understand this except by grace. They were going through a great trial of affliction, and they were in deep poverty, but they had abundance of joy, and they had riches of liberality. There's something about it. It says, I mean, these people, there was a grace upon them, the grace of God. They were going through difficult times. Brethren, in my country, I've come to realize, very honestly, if you read about Sierra Leone, if you check statistics, we're almost low or below other nations, almost for everything. But as I travel the nations, I've realized that my people are great givers. I have seen them give. I have seen them sacrifice. I've seen people in their poverty do things for God. And I've seen God change their circumstances and their levels. I've seen God elevate people as they gave unto God. as they release their substance unto God Almighty. I've seen him do awesome things for them. The Bible says in verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us, that is begging us with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to saints. That's a given grace that makes a man who's in poverty put together resources to help others, while the rich are always concerned about saving for retirement, about the next project, about the next, you know, whatever dream they have. But then the people who are in the poverty would give to support the work of God, give to support those in need, give to support servants of God. And you see, it's not just giving support. The giving grace opens doors for your prosperity. There are people who are believing God for prosperity. I mean, they're waiting for a white elephant. They will never see it because their greed is all about themselves and what they can get. Get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. That's their life. It's all about them. But the given grace will open doors for prosperity. Abraham was a giver. And there's a time in the life of Abraham that Abraham had carried a prophecy for very long. Abraham had heard that God was going to make him the father of many nations. Abraham had heard how God would increase him. He changed his name from Abraham to Abraham, from Sarai to Sarah. But he didn't see this come to pass. He even tried to help himself and went to bed with Hagar and gave birth to Ishmael. And God did not count him as a child of promise. He said, Sarah. I said, Sarah will conceive. Now, this is what happened. One day Abraham sat at his tent door in the book of Genesis chapter 18, and he saw three men passing. What verse 1 says, and the Lord appeared unto him. Abraham realized that among these three men, one was God. And Abraham got up, and he ran to meet the three men and bowed down to them. And he now invited them. He said, please come, if I found favor in your sight. Let me prepare food for you, because this is why you came unto me. And they agreed, they accepted his proposal and his offer. And Abraham ran. He ran to meet them, and then he said, I'm going to bring bread for you, so you can just have something to eat and go on your journey. And when they gave him go ahead, he ran on. And the Bible says he hastened to meet Sarah in verse 6 and told her, do this quickly, make ready this quickly. And then verse 7, he ran to get a calf and brought the best calf he could bring and gave it to young men to prepare it. And he took butter and milk. Remember, he promised them only bread. Only bread. But now he has gone to prepare a calf. He has gone and to dress it with whatever use of dress it. I don't know. Irish potato. I don't know what kind of potato they use. Whatever they use. Some salad here and some lettuce there. But he dressed it very well. And then, I mean, some salad and fish also. And then he ran and he took butter and he took milk and the calf and dressed it and put it before them. And the Bible said, and he stood there. Look at verse 8. I'm reading from your Bible. Genesis 18, verse 8. He stood there by them under the tree, and they did eat. And he was after them eating. The Lord said, where is Sarah, your wife? And then verse 10, he says, I'll return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Sarah had it, and Sarah laughed. You don't laugh when God speaks to you. To make mockery, God could have judged her. But Abraham, he sacrificed his gift unto the Lord of honor, of reverence, caused God not to touch Sarah. And the same year that God appeared to them at the age of 100 for Abraham, age 90 for Sarah, they gave birth to the promised child. Listen, God gives you the given grace so he can prosper you, not so he can make you poor. I want to round up. The time is about to round up, although my host was generous enough to say I can keep on flowing. But I want to round up and so I can pray for someone here. And I'm saying to you that before I pray for you, grace is already working in your life. Now, I want you to understand something about this grace. This grace of God is an abiding grace. This grace of God remains. This grace shall not be taken away from you. In John 14, verse 15, I feel the presence of God right now as I'm speaking to you. I feel the anointing of God as I'm talking to you. Receive a miracle right now. Receive the hand of God upon your life. Receive impartation of the gifts of the Spirit upon your life. Receive the touch of God upon your life. I sense a great anointing right now. Mandiria babako satande. Reba babako usaya. Mandiria babaka shikede. Mandoria kazigede. Mandoria babaka shando. Receive Mandoria babaka saya. I sense a strong ministry anointing that's going to lift you up and make you into a mighty servant of God. Pick you up from the dunghill. It's going to give you utterances and revelations. Open your eyes in the realms of the Spirit. Open your understanding and enlighten you into His Word. He's going to open your ears to hear when He speaks to you. From this moment, receive this invitation for the miraculous. Your words will command power. Your presence will command the anointing and the grace of God. Receive that invitation right now. I also say there's a healing grace flowing. Receive your healing. I command that chronic illness to go. I command a disease to go. I cancel the sentence of death upon your life. You shall not die. You shall live and declare the works of the Lord. God has chastened you, but He has not given you over to death. I declare to you that God is satisfying you with long life and showing you His salvation. I command you to rise up from the illness now. Rise up from the affliction now. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus Christ. I cancel every proclamation that pronounces the darkness of your life. Every trade, every sale, every evil transaction that went on to terminate your life, I erase it now. Receive the life of God. Receive the power of God. Receive the length of days in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive soundness from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Receive power right now. Health in your mind, health in your physical being, in your blood, in your bones, in your mouth, health in your spirit. The Lord is restoring health unto you. Glory be to God. In John 14, He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. Watch this now. That He may abide with you forever. That He may abide with you forever. And He continues in verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. This Spirit of God is going to abide within you. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will not leave you. I will not depart from you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He says in the book of Hebrews 14, God will not leave you. He's abiding with you. He says, yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but you see me. Because I leave, you shall leave also. I want you to know that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. But now understand, we are talking about the abiding grace. So what's the connection to the Holy Ghost abiding with you forever? Well, in the book of Zechariah 12, verse 10, the Bible calls him the Spirit of grace. The Spirit of grace. Now, both Old and New Testament. I'm in the habit of showing things in the Old and New Testament because you've got some strange school of people that tells you, oh, he's always preaching from the Old Testament. Well, this is not this, that's an Old Testament thing. No. See in both dimensions, see it in both testaments, in both dispensations. So again, in Hebrews 10, verse 12, he calls him the Spirit of grace. Grace comes by the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of grace. He's the Spirit of favor. In the Spirit of strength, the Spirit of enablement, the Spirit that gives capacity, the Spirit that makes you capable, is the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, this Spirit will abide with you forever. Announce to you that even when you go through the storms, the Spirit of grace will not leave you. He will not abandon you. He will not forsake you. Men may leave you, but Christ told us that He's a Spirit of truth. He abides with you forever. As someone says, my husband died. grace did not die. My wife died and left me like this. No, grace did not die. The grace of God is giving you a new chapter in life. The grace of God is opening up a new dimension for you. It is just one chapter that has been shut down. A new chapter has opened up unto you. Hallelujah. Now, there's the abiding grace of God, but there's also the abiding presence of God. The abiding presence of God. In Exodus 33, verse 12 to 17, and Moses said unto the Lord, thou seest unto me, bring these people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wouldst send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. But for thee, now therefore I pray thee, if I find grace in your sight, show me your way, now your way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And verse 14, and he said, as the Lord said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. My presence shall go with you. I declare to you for the rest of the year, the presence of God shall go with you. I decree to you, the presence of God goes with you into the rest of the decade. You will not be void of the presence of God. And if it's the presence of God, then grace is always there. Receive that abiding grace. He will not forsake you. He will not depart from you. Somebody shout hallelujah where you are. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I love verse 13. The way it takes us in this cycle. That you found grace. And by grace, he says, show me your way now, that I will find more grace. So when grace comes upon you, grace leads you in the way of the Lord. That's why I told you, grace is not going to allow you, not going to condone the life of sin. Grace is going to lead you in the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then, when you walk in the way of the Lord, you are now going to have more grace. And the grace of God will not depart. By the time the grace of God departed from Saul, may that not be your portion. That's why in Jeremiah 5, verse 22, it says, fear ye not me? Don't you fear me, said the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence? The people make the error of despising the presence of God. Come to God's house, as we're talking on their phones, sending emails, no regard for the presence of God. Leave and go as they want to go, do what they want to do. No honor for the grace of God, for the presence of God. May you honor the presence of God. Tremble, he says, tremble at my presence. Ah, the presence of God is there. You see people doing all kinds of odd things. The Bible says, tremble at my presence. Saul received the anointing. He received the Holy Ghost. But he caused the grace to depart from him. Saul disobeyed God. He dishonored the servant of God. And in the book of 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, the Bible says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, that is David, in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now look at verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Do not live in rebellion, because when you live in rebellion, the spirit of grace would leave. Because you chose not to tremble at his presence. He came to stay. He came to abide. But he needs you to honor his presence. He needs you to reverence him. He needs you to give him the respect that he desires. Saul messed up. And when the Holy Ghost left, demons came in. Saul became a witch, hunting to kill David. Saul almost killed his own very son, Jonathan. He was spared at him because Jonathan refused to connive with him to kill David. Jonathan had to dodge. Saul cursed his son's mother. In other words, that was his wife. Saul, next thing we knew, was consulting witches. My God. And he died a terrible death because he turned his back on the grace of God. He insulted the grace of God. That's why the Bible warns us, don't frustrate the grace of God. Don't abuse the grace of God. No wonder David, when David sinned against God, David prayed quickly when he was brought to know what he did. He said, oh, I've sinned against God. He said, against thee only have I sinned. I'm declaring that thou might be justified when you judge. I'm not arguing with you, God. I sinned against you. And David prayed a certain prayer. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. But I love what it says in Psalm 51, verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David did not talk about his kingdom. He didn't talk about his power, about his money. He asked that the presence of God would not be taken away from him. Why? David had seen what happened to Saul when Saul lost the presence. Because I did was particular. I don't want to lose the presence. Lord, please, don't take away your presence. Don't take away your presence. Please stand where you are. Stand where you are. There's the abiding grace, there's the abiding presence of God, and there's the abiding word of God. In John 14, verse 17, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. I pray that you allow the word of God to abide in you. Things I've taught you for almost an hour now, just a few more minutes, will make it an hour of me teaching. May these words remain in you. May these words abide in you. In the name of Jesus Christ. That's why, you know, in Proverbs, it says, my son, attend to my words. Pay attention to my words. Incline your ears unto my saying. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Lift up your hands right now. And begin to thank God for his grace. Begin to appreciate God for his grace. Begin to bless him for his grace right now. Those of you who can rise up, then rise up where you are in reverence to the Holy Ghost. And say, Lord, here am I. I need your presence. Lord, here am I. Renew me. Renew your grace. Stir up your grace in me. Oh, God, begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Begin to pray loud in the Spirit. Begin to pray loud in the Holy Ghost. Lift up your voices and pray in the Holy Ghost. Don't stop praying the Holy Ghost. Pray loud for the next few minutes until I ask you to stop. Don't stop praying. Mandoria baba baba shandeya. Marakazaya. Renda kalaba baba baba bosike. Rendo shamamandeya. Lord God, mandoria baba 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 baba. Pray right now, God, your grace. Your grace. Your keeping grace. Your strength and grace. Lord, let grace abound. Reba baba baba kosiyende. Renda kashamamandeya. Marakazaya. Are you praying? Do you believe in the intercession of the Holy Ghost right now? Pray, Mando, Rinandosa, Yendalanana Sikea, Rabababushandai, Menda Raka Zigere, Randa Labadodosh, Mandelebede, Raka Takadoso, Mandiria Babababa, Rindo Lobododoso, Menda Riakazai, Rekatayandosa, Lord, in the name of Christ, I will release your power across, O God, the nations, in every town, in every city, O God. Mandoria baba baba sakayandosa, reba baba baba kashandaya, mendoria baba baba saya. I don't know about all this, but at least I can see my members from Sierra Leone, from UK, from America, from Gambia, from different parts, and so I know there are others connected from different parts of the world. Receive God's hand now. Receive grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Let this grace go to another level, another dimension in your life. This grace will keep you. This grace will preserve you. This grace will strengthen you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Mandoria babakosha. Renda la babababa sikia. Mandoria babosa. Mandoriaka say, Ribabababayaka Zigeteya, praying the Holy Ghost, praying the Holy Ghost, praying the Holy Ghost, stir up his spirit of grace. As you pray in the Holy Ghost, more anointing, more grace is welling up within you. The hand of God is coming upon you. I see God's hand coming upon someone right now. The anointing is coming so strong. You feel like a wind. Some of you are feeling like a heat, wherever you are, like heat, wherever you are. Receive it now. That's the hand of God. So if you're receiving a welling of tongues within you, a boiling of tongues in your spirit, let it out. In the Holy Ghost, someone is being filled with the Holy Ghost now. You've never spoken in tongues before. Receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Receive the fire of the Holy Spirit. Receive that now in the name of Christ. In the name of Christ, I command healing miracles. I command growth to disappear. I command cancer to go. I command tumor be lost right now by this grace of God that has no restrictions. In the name of Christ, that knows no boundaries. Receive the grace of God now. Receive healing in your heart, healing of your blood. I command every blood disease to go. In the name of Christ, every hearing problem, I command be cleared up right now. In the name of Christ, every type of infirmity, go now in the name of Jesus Christ. I loose you from satanic torments. The powers that appear to you at night, I break their power. For now, you're preserved by the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. You shall not be touched in the dreams. You shall not be touched as you go around. The Lord goes before you. Receive the mercy of God. Receive the power of God. Receive the strength of God. Receive all that God has for you now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lay your hand on your belly. Say, Father, receive grace. Grace to do well. Grace to rise above nations. Grace to sit in high places. I receive grace of authority. Grace. I feel the power of God right now. As I lay my hands on myself, I feel the power of God. Receive the power of God right now. Someone is actually going down under the anointing right now. The anointing is coming strong upon you. I see strong. I sense strong anointing. Receive it now. Receive it now in your home, in your church, in your place of gatherings. Receive the power of God now in the name of Jesus Christ. It is happening right now. As I'm speaking, it is happening. It is happening right now. Miracles on your behalf. You shall go and find that God has sorted out the problem. God has dealt with the battle. God has cleared the enemy. God has removed the mountains. They have become plains before you. The valleys have become exalted. I see you rising above every situation. You're hidden under the shadow of his wings. 1,000 falls at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. There's 10,000 right, they shall not come nigh you. With your eyes you shall behold and see the reward of the wicked. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I see trampling upon serpents and scorpions. You're trampling upon the young lion and the adder. And nothing is hurting you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we see the protection of grace. I cancel the accident that was put ahead of you. No accident, no disappointment. I command your business to prosper. I command investments to do well. I command grace for you to succeed in all areas of life. Now I command the barren, receive, try to conceive. I command your womb be open. I command men who are sterile, receive the healing power of God. To impregnate your wife, those who were cursed not to get married, I release you to marriage. Those who were put under curses not to progress, not to advance, receive advancements now, receive progress now. You are going to do well in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Receive the healing power, receive the help of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, my Father. Lord, I give you praise. Lord, I give you glory. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we are grateful. We are grateful. Thank you, mighty God. I want to hand over to Bishop Mike. But before I do that, I want to use the wisdom of Abraham. No one told him to give, and Abraham gave quality gift with a positive attitude. Some people, someone has to run after you. Abraham ran to meet the man. Abraham said, I have an offering for you. He took them aside to be under some cool place, and then he brought them the sacrifice that he had for them and waited upon them. Abraham had 318 warriors besides other servants. Why didn't he send any of them? He knew what he was doing. He humbled himself, and this opened doors for him. Today, God is going to use your seed. Don't say, I've been giving all week, and I cannot give again. You can give again, and you will give again. I can stop back and give testimonies of people whose lives were saved by a simple instruction I gave to them to give. And as I said, as I speak to you, for those on the Zoom platform, you can see a number of my members are there, my own biological children, some of them online. And so I'm not telling you a story. If I do, they'll say, Dad, that's not what you used to do. So I don't do that. I've seen miracles. I've seen people have opened doors. I just instruct them, oh, give. The times I was in certain countries, and somebody came with some prayer request, and I said, oh, sow a seed, and I left. And then we met later on in some other country. And I was the one. You instructed me to give. And that's what opened these doors for me. Tonight, I'm instructing you to give. I'm going to instruct everyone that can sow. Someone might not be able to do it. But there's someone hearing my voice right now. And you're fighting a major battle. And you need not to give anything less than $1,000. You need not to give anything less than $1,000. 1,000 bond offerings unto God. And you'll see God come through for you. He's able to do it. He's able to make a way. God is more than a billionaire. And if you can obey him, he's more than a trillionaire. I mean, for all those things, just making God look little. If I try to call him out, he's able to bless you. He's able to make a way for you. Sow a seed of $1,000. It might look big to you today, but they will come on $1,000. It will be small. And small for what you have to do. Sow a seed. I've seen people give $1,000 and God save their family. Tonight, those of you there in the church, those of you wherever you are, you'll soon see on the screen details on how you can give. We'll put there. Sow your seed. I'm not there. I'm not asking you to sow seed to me. I'm not trying to raise nothing for myself. I'm saying sow seed to the ministry that God used to establish his platform. Sow seed. Be where you are and where God leads you to sow seed. Those of you that say, I cannot give $1,000, you can give. I want you to do it now. I want to do it now. But I wish I could have seen those in front of me. I want to instruct you. Don't think that I'm not seeing you. He's not seeing you. God is seeing you. And God will reward you. If you can give $100, I can do it now, not tomorrow. Do it now. Be like Abraham, run. While I'm still speaking, run and do it. Give $100. Take it to the altar. You can give $50. Now I say, well, you know, that's not the currency of my nation. Give the currency that you can give. Give the equivalent of what I'm referring to. But give the best you can give. You can give $50 of the equivalent, do it. You can give 10. But today, do something. Do it upon the word of this son of God speaking to you. And let it be known that I'm giving the seed. Now, what are you going to name your seed today? You're going to name it Exceeding Abundant Grace Seed. Give a seed. Send it in. I will discuss blessings upon your life. Isn't it a blessing being with you? Bishop Mike, thank you for the opportunity to stand with you and to be a blessing to your congregation and to those whom God has allowed you to reach out. May the blessings of God be upon your ministry, be upon your life in a mighty way. Thank you very much. But do it now before you go off. Over to you, Bishop Mike.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a powerful word you have. Oh my goodness. You just ripped that whole thing apart and put it all back together. I'm so excited to hear the word of the Lord from you tonight. You know, it was God who spoke to me and said to me, He's to be one of our speakers. I've never heard him preach before. I've not heard him teach. I've not heard nothing. But how do you know God knows his people? Hallelujah. And today, I found another great teacher of the Word of God that brings forth the Word prophetically and establishes the purposes of God. We celebrate you, Bishop. We celebrate you. We celebrate you. We celebrate you. We are so thrilled to have received the Word of God from you tonight. That was just amazing. Well, he's challenged us to give. He's challenged us to give. There's somebody that God is speaking to give 1,000, somebody 500, somebody 50, whatever it is that God has laid in your heart to do, do everything to honor that giving. It is not something out of pressure. It is something that God is setting you up to experience in his overflow. Amen? You know, the Bible says in the passage of Scripture that you were ministering from about Abraham. The Bible said he was at the door of his tent and he looked up. He saw this man, but then the Word of God says they were by him. Way out there, but by him. It's a remarkable experience of God that God can take that which is far away and bring it near. Somebody shout hallelujah. God is going to do that for somebody tonight. It seems so far away, that miracle, but it's going to stand by you. Hallelujah. Experience that grace of God. That exceeding abundant grace. I love that word. And he says to us, put it on that envelope today. Exceeding abundant. Yes, we thank God for abundances, but exceeding abundant. That means God is going to top it off and do the extravagant blessing. I am so blessed today to receive a mighty man of God. He's been ministering and ministering and ministering and still had it in him. There's still more that has been poured into our lives today. All the miracles that have happened by the proclamation of the Word of God, we are thankful, indeed thankful. Bishop, we thank you for being such a powerful servant. That happens not by chance, it is by surrender. I see a man that is surrendered to God and to the vision of God and the kingdom of God. You're a man that is building not your own kingdom, but the kingdom of God, helping. You know, one of the things God said to me today was remarkable. He said that you had a powerful administrative grace on your life. And I said to the Lord when he said that, I said, I tap into that. I was not in the service. I was at home. I said, I tap into that. I tap into that. That grace to take that which is little and expand it. That expansion anointing that is on your life, it flows in here. We tap into that grace and we flow into that fullness. And we thank you for serving with all of your heart tonight. May God use us to also be a blessing to you and to the family of God, locally and globally. Praise the Lord. Let's give God thanks once again for Bishop Akintoye Sam Jolly. Amen, 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 amen. Bishop, I've been meaning to ask you a question. I should have asked this privately, but I'm going to ask it. The name Akintoye sounds so Nigerian, but I know that you're Sierra Leonean. Do your roots go back to Nigeria?
No, it does not.
It does not.
But you must understand, there's a tribe in my country that has names like that from the Yoruba culture.
Okay.
And I love the meaning of the name. My name means a brave ruler that brings joy. And so I love it. Yes. And so my eldest son is also called Akintayo. My second son is called Akintola. My elder brother is called Akiola. Well, we pronounce it Akinola. My wife is called Olabisi. I can go on and give it off to you.
Those all sound like Nigerian names. What do you mean?
Well,
you tap into the Yoruba roots
and give
of Nigeria.
Take me to Nigeria and give me some land. That's all you need to do, Bishop. Just take me over there and give me some land. Give me some land.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. I should be saying, give me some land since you borrowed Nigerian names. Give me some land in Sierra Leone.
Let's start on your side and I invite you over to my side.
God is good. Amen. I love you, my brother. I really deeply love you from the depths of my heart. And I look forward to the day that you will
be here. You know, Bishop, it was a pleasure meeting you.
It's a pleasure.
It was a pleasure meeting with you. Like you said, we've not had any close interaction since, you know, meeting, but just greeting in, out, and just exchanging those, you know, pleasantries. But then God has what he's doing.
Yeah.
And like you said, William, like, you know, I just came into the States on Wednesday. Yeah. And went on to work. I mean, ministry work. And so it's been reason I thought, and we finished this morning. And then had to do some other things. But then I said, no, I have to honor this invitation. And like, you know very well, I was trying to call you and I could not get you. And you tried to call me. I thought, maybe it's not working. Let me go to bed. And then when I went to bed, another bishop called me and woke me up. I said, okay. Then your call came. I said, okay, let's get going, son. And so I'm grateful to God for what he's doing. He knows more than what we know. Thank you so much for being a blessing to your people.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Amen. We really appreciate you. The people are excited. They're clapping and just celebrating the gift that you are to the body of Christ. We'll let you be. And tomorrow night, we will be wrapping up with a very special time together. God is going to do extraordinary things with us. And ministry is going to go forth as the Lord takes us into the eighth day. This is the seventh day, but then God added another day. And that day is a day of new beginnings. God is going to open his portal over our lives. Please come honor God with your giving. And